This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. Today we continue our discussion with Dr. Gregory Jantz about mental health. He's the founder director of the Center for Counseling and Health Resources in Edmonds, Washington. Dr. Jantz, on our last program, you identified some of the issues that women face, issues that can generate anger in their lives. Today, I'd like to continue that discussion with some solutions you outlined so clearly in your book, Every Woman's Guide to Managing Your Anger. You say that one of the first steps we need to take to overcome destructive anger is learning the power of acceptance. You mean we have to learn to accept the heartbreaking, embarrassing, and even sinful situations that take place in our lives? And doesn't acceptance give these issues relevance? I mean, aren't we saying that they are acceptable, and should we ever say that about sin?
Well, acceptable. I want to be able to accept reality and reality as it happened, and that's what's important. And acceptance does not imply agreement. Acceptance doesn't mean that I'm going to continue in a behavior or allow somebody else to continue in a behavior, but it's just making sure that I'm looking at it squarely in the eyes and going, okay, here is reality. Here's what I have done. Here's my anger has been hurtful to others. You know, I've got to look in the mirror and have a little talk with myself, so to speak.
Now, so what is the opposite of acceptance?
Well, I think the opposite could be denial, pretending that it was either no big deal or I really didn't hurt them. I really wasn't hurt. I'm really not an angry person. I really don't have unforgiveness. That would be one way of, of handling it, which I think we do that for a while until we have full knowledge about what's happened.
So when we fully understand it is the only way we can accept it.
When we fully understand the reality of what's happened, it'll help us accept it. Okay. You know, and that, I think then we can talk about it, then we can begin to change it.
When that woman I talk about that comes into your office and she sits down and she says, I have such a troubled life, what are some of the signs that she's in denial? What does she say that tips you off?
Well, she might deflect over to other things. You know, if I could only get my depression under control, I would be okay. You know, I'm really just here for my eating. And so we'll dance around issues until we really get and go, okay, those issues are really symptomatic. They're a symptom of something else. Let's follow those symptoms to maybe what the core issue is.
You mentioned in the book, right after the section on denial here, you mentioned perfectionism. What's perfectionism got to do with acceptance?
Well, sometimes I carry around the belief that says I have to be perfect. Maybe I was even taught that. I have to be the perfect woman, which means I do all these things perfectly. And I really get in bondage to performance. You know, we all want to do an excellent job and do a great job. Absolutely. But we get in bondage to really trying to be perfect with it all.
But I want to be perfect. You want to be perfect. You know, we want to do a perfect interview here. Is there a good perfect and is there a bad perfect?
Oh, let's just say I want to do excellence. I want to really be at my very best. I want to be a truth teller. So, you know, I'm going to be the best of who I am.
Okay. Which
really means I'm going to practice it being authentic versus being a perfectionist, for example.
Authentic. Okay. In other words, it sounds like authentic means real, and real means accepting of the imperfections.
Well, yes. And, we're really not going to focus on all that. That's what happens. We focus on being perfect. I have to be perfect how I handle my anger. I have to be I can't show any anger. And we get all these really misbeliefs.
I was very interested in the section that you talk about truth and that there are many sides of truth. Aren't we taught to believe that in the religious world, in the Christian world, there is really one truth?
Well, yes. And exactly. what I mean by this is, there's a truth of God's truth. It's a truth of how we need to see ourselves more, how He sees us. But we get really distorted, I think, in our perceptions.
So when we look at something and we think, is this truth or is this not truth, we have to decide whether we're looking at it from our perspective or from God's perspective?
Well, that's really an important point to make, absolutely. And I want to keep working on, you know, the God perspective. There's things I'm not going to understand. If I'm a woman who has been victimized and abused, if I focus on that, I probably won't, I mean, focus on, just stay stuck in that. Mm-hmm. Then I try to be perfect. I try to be a certain way. You know what? I'm not being authentic. I'm not being really free to be who God created me to be.
Give me an example, Dr. Jantz, of someone who is looking at truth from the wrong perspective.
Well, the wrong perspective might be I stay focused on all my perceived defects. We all have human weaknesses. I might get locked in on a person that's hurt me, and everything just gets so distorted.
I'm looking here through, and you have little examples and little practical steps that people can take in the book and to put down my perspective and God's perspective. This really is really curious to me because do we ever get to the place where we live our lives looking at life through God's perspective?
We want to keep working on that, and we're going to do that by, of course, being engaged and reading His Word. One of the things that I've had to do personally is I use the old-fashioned 3x5 cards, and on my desk today is a first, and I'm constantly renewing my mind with God's truth. So you know what? I have to do that. I can tilt pretty easy.
So you give a little visual aid to yourself throughout the day.
Yes. You know, in the same way, you know the importance of health-wise of drinking water. I actually created a water bottle that I had printed on the sides of the water bottle all the reasons why I'm drinking my water. I had to have reinforcement. Lowers blood pressure, improves mood, etc., you know.
What a very good idea that is. I have never heard someone do that. I've heard people put things on their refrigerator, like a picture of them in high school.
Yeah.
But you're saying that it's a good idea for us to remind ourselves what the real truth is and what our perspective should be. Oh, this is good. I like this.
Yes.
My. What are some other ways we can do that? You know, putting notes on our water bottle, are there some other ways that we can remind ourselves throughout the day that we may not be looking at things the way we should?
Well, you know, one of the things that I just pulled out of my pocket right now was, and I wrote it down earlier today, there's a person that I'm having some difficulty with. Mm. Can we just do a confession here?
Yes, you may.
Okay. And I wrote down 5 points on my little 3x5 card that I was going to practice as I communicate with this person.
Huh.
And so this is how I'm doing it, making it practical. Number one was, I'm going to resist the urge to jump on the defensive.
Interesting.
Okay, because this person can trigger that. The second thing, number two, I wrote down, I'm not going to call names.
good.
And okay, number three, this will be the biggest challenge. I'm going to avoid minimizing their feelings. You know, because minimizing another person's feelings is kind of a way of discrediting their experience, you know. So, and I had to also write down, number four I wrote down, I'm going to give up the need to be right.
Oh. Hey, you're a guy.
This is part of
what we do.
But see, I had to make this just practical and real, okay? When I interact with this person, these are things I'm going to remember.
Well, that brings us right back to what you said earlier, that there are many sides to truth. In other words, you may be right, but that person may be right as well. Can you be two people be right at the same time?
Yeah. Well, you know, perception is reality, isn't it?
Yeah.
Another person's perception or their experience. You know, I really learned this the hard way with my wife.
Mm.
You know, I really was one that probably minimized and said, what? How can you?
That's not what I think.
And
how can you be right?
Yeah, I thought, wow, I'm just really minimizing her perception, mm-hmm. her feelings. You know, that's not helpful. It's hurtful.
Well, you know what? I think that you've hit upon one of the most important elements of this whole acceptance, and that is to realize that truth is multifaceted, that perception is what creates the truth. And if a person's perception is a little bit different from yours, and most people are, we're all individuals, that's okay. That's not a problem. They're not wrong. That doesn't mean you're wrong. That means you're both right. Am I on the right track here?
Yeah, you are this time.
This is interesting, because I think one of the main items that we men have when we're dealing with women is that they can't possibly know what they're talking about, because we're men and they're women. And we could do a show on the gender problems that we have,
but it
seems that is an issue that needs to be addressed.
Yes.
My.
Okay. Yes.
All right, good.
That's good. There's a book right there.
Yeah. Okay, very good. Now, our perspective, God's perspective, and you can roll this over into our relationship with God, because a lot of times we think, okay, this is the way I perceive God to be, but you know, sometimes God perceives himself different than we perceive God. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I want to focus on God is a loving Father, and what I mean by that is I'm going to practice receiving His love. Mm-hmm. If I can just start to come into a realization of how much He loves me.
Mm-hmm. And also, when we look at other people, and we look at the problems that they're going through, and we look at the condition of their life, if we look at it from our perspective, we tend to be judgmental. When we look at it from God's perspective, we tend to be forgiving. Am I on the right track here?
Yes, and that forgiving is such an important point. If we're a forgiving person, we're a person that's going to be filled with gratitude and optimism. If we're forgiving, amazingly, no matter the offense, by being a forgiving person, we allow for joy to enter into our lives. We love to be around forgiving people.
Well, let's find out. We'll take a short break right now. When we come back, I want to talk to you more about this whole forgiveness thing, because I think that acceptance, like you say, is one of the important foundation stones, but forgiveness has got to be up there as well. So we'll talk about that with Dr. Gregory Jantz on our return, so stay right where you are. I'd like to take a moment to invite you to visit the Heartwise Ministries team on the internet. Stop by heartwiseministries.org and discover for yourself that optimum health is not the result of favorable genes or the right combination of pharmaceuticals. No, optimum health is the result of making the right choices each and every moment of each and every day. If you're like me, you're probably a little confused about what the media and marketing moguls are feeding us. There are a lot of potions, pills, and promises out there. Some work, some don't, and some are downright dangerous. Whom do you believe? Whom do you trust? Board-certified cardiologist Dr. James Markham, founder-director of Heartwise Ministries, says there is a source of information that can be trusted and followed. That's the Bible, God's owner's manual, as he calls it, for us all. The information you find on heartwiseministries.org is information backed by biblical truth. It can be trusted because God can be trusted. So stop by, won't you? That's heartwiseministries.org. Did you know that there's a direct correlation between eating animal protein and experiencing increased rates of many diseases? In 1900, people got 70% of their protein from plant foods. Today, we get 70% of our protein from animal products, products that are high in fat and cholesterol. In 1900, very few Americans died from coronary heart disease. Today, it's responsible for every third death. Cancer rates have skyrocketed as well. It does matter what you eat.
I'm Dr. Hans Dior, inviting you to join the people in the know and enroll in the next CHIP program in your area. It can make all the difference.
Hi, I'm Dr. Roger Greenlaw. I have sent many of my patients to the CHIP program with great success. It's the finest program to help people take charge of their health and to live better lives.
For more information about the Coronary Health Improvement Project and to find resources to help you live a healthier, happier life, visit chiphealth.org. That's chiphealth.org. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We are here with Dr. Gregory Jantz. He is the founder director of the Center for Counseling and Health Resources out in Edmonds, Washington. And I want to give you a web address for Dr. Jantz's organization. That's aplaceofhope.com. Before we go any further, tell us a little bit about this place and why it's called A Place of Hope.
Oh, it's really interesting. This is our 27th year. And the center, we were known as the center, and then we started doing client feedback surveys. Over time, clients just kept writing, this is a place of hope, a place of hope. Our name kind of got renamed and migrated over towards a place of hope based on what our clients were saying.
Well, that's wonderful.
So the website's a place of hope. And in fact, there's a good anchor. There is a survey you can take online.
Oh, tell us about that.
Well, if you just want to check in with maybe how... I was going to say out of balance or in balance you are. Let's see, what's the best way to put that?
It's just a little survey
you can take online.
Okay, all right. I love surveys, so I'm going to go there and do that for sure. Okay, that's at A Place of Hope. Don't forget the aplaceofhope.com. We're talking about your book, Every Woman's Guide to Managing Your Anger. And as I said before, it may say Every Woman's Guide, but I've found a lot of help, and I'm not a woman. So I think, men, you need to get a hold of this book too. And it could also help you deal with the specific issues and the way that women, as you said in our other program, the way that women react. Sometimes that's different than the way a man would react. So it gives me a lot of understanding about my wife and about the females in my world. So I'm glad I have this book here. This is wonderful.
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about forgiveness. We've mentioned acceptance, forgiveness. Dr. Jantz, this is hard. It is hard to forgive someone when that person is still around and has not made any kind of move to say that they were wrong and we were right. What do we do then?
Oh, you know, that's so hard. And sometimes when we offer forgiveness to another person, we don't actually go to them. If we're involved in a situation or was a situation where it's still abusive and so forth, there are times where you can be re-injured. And so forgiveness is really a matter of our heart, and I would like to add, God helping us do that. Because, you know, I think in our humanness, sometimes we have been so hurt, and it's just beyond us. And, you know, I've had people say, you know, I'm afraid to let it out. I'll lose control, all my hurt.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's bigger than us, and that's why it's really a God job.
Yeah. Are you saying that in some situations, going to the person is not necessary for forgiveness? I thought to forgive someone, you have to walk up to them and say, you, I forgive you.
No, I think there's times we make a decision that we are forgiving them.
Hmm.
And that forgiveness is a decision that we're making that we're going to let go of the toxic effects that it has in our life.
And it doesn't require that we go face-to-face with the person that we are forgiving.
No, no. It just says, I want to be strong and healthy, and I want to have healthy relationships. Therefore, I am making a decision that this is for me. It's not for the other person.
Well, for a forgiveness to take, and I use that, for it to be valid, doesn't there has to be a response to this?
No, no.
Really?
Because this is just, you're just working with your heart. And God's working with your heart. Because now you may go to a person and, you know, you've been offended by them and you're going to tell them that you have been greatly hurt and you've taken on an offense. And I might add, this is one of the most detrimental things that we can do is take on an offense.
What's that mean? What do you mean by
that? Well, if you take on offense, you haven't forgiven. You've been bruised and injured emotionally and you're carrying this offense. And it's a little poison in your system. And that poison grows and grows, and then the next person says something to you, and you take on another offense.
Mm-hmm.
Layers and layers of offenses in your life begin to distort how you see reality. And suddenly you're wearing these glasses of resentment, and you misunderstand people's motivations. You misconstrue things that are said because you're full of offenses.
Well, when we forgive someone, aren't we basically saying what you did was okay? I accept that?
Well, I hope that's not what we're doing.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, when you forgive someone, really what you're doing is you're releasing the poison and how it's harmed you. And it has nothing to do with okaying their behavior. You may have offenses in your life that are, you know, what I will call it justified. Yeah,
yeah, sure.
Of course. Yes, but don't keep carrying offenses because you'll start carrying other things and other baggage that that is going to keep you really poisoned.
Okay, walk a listener through this. Let's say we have a listener right now who was abused as a child. This child was mentally and physically abused as a child. This person is now an adult. The parent still lives. They know where they are. They have their phone number. Walk this person through the steps he or she needs to take to forgive that predator who's still out there.
Well, we've really given one of the steps, and one of the steps is simply to acknowledge what's happened. Mm-hmm. And then the next step is to accept what's happened. Mm-hmm. Okay, I can't deny it. I've got to be willing to accept it. And then that just means I'm going to deal with reality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then I think we're going to be very prayerful. We're going to really bathe ourselves in prayer. We're going to ask really for discernment to understand what we need to do. Remember, we can't control another person.
Right.
So we're going to ask for discernment. What do I need to do? What do I need to do to make my life clean? What do I need to do to be free of resentments? And this is where I say it's a God job.
Really?
I remember giving an assignment once to a client where it was a deceased father, and the client had a justified long list of offenses, but it was making them miserable, and the father had been dead a long time, and you're still miserable. And I remember she goes to the graveside, and she reads a letter and decides, I forgive you, Dad, at the graveside. So my point really is, it's never too late to release things.
So important that you bring this out in the book, Every Woman's Guide to Managing Your Anger. You bring it out that one of the people that we need to forgive most could be ourselves. Tell us about that. When are we not forgiving ourselves, and what does that look like in a life?
Okay. Well, forgiving ourselves, a lack of self-forgiveness may be producing some addictive behavior in your life. A lack of self-forgiveness may be poisoning all your current relationships or future relationships. A lack of self-forgiveness may prevent you from having true intimacy or closeness with another person. How about that?
Yeah, that's pretty bad. I would assume the steps are quite the same as forgiving someone else to forgive yourself.
Yes. Forgiving yourself really means sometimes I have to forgive that I have maybe lost some time. I have to accept maybe I've hurt some people myself. So that's why, you know, earlier we talked about avoiding, minimizing other people's feelings. And, you know, we have a role in this.
That is Words to Live By today from our guest, Dr. Gregory Jantz. He is the founder director of the Center for Counseling and Health Resources in Edmonds, Washington. He has written a book that we talked about during the last two programs, Every Woman's Guide to Managing Your Anger. And I recommend, listener, that you spend some time over at his website. The website is www.aplaceofhope.com. That's www.aplaceofhope.com. There are other resources there. Dr. Jantz has written a lot of books. I have most of them and enjoy them very, very much, and look forward to his new releases as they come out. Dr. Jantz, thank you very much for being with us today. Always a pleasure.
Oh, good to be with you. Thank you.
And listener, I want you to live a happy, healthy life, and one way you can do that is to educate yourself with Dr. Jantz's books, also with information you can receive at the heartwiseministries.org website. Until next time, this is Charles Mills inviting you to remain heart-wise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on Heart-Wise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. Heart-Wise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.